or the book of Genesis. We're going to look digging the old wells. Digging the old wells. Genesis chapter 26 in our Bibles. Digging the old wells. Wells are a interesting thing in the Bible. That a lot of things happened at wells. It was a common meeting place. Wells were a place that people went out of necessity on a daily basis. I often think of talking about David's mighty men, and one of his men, Benaiah, said he slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. It was a well pit, and a lion had gone down, and the lion was stopping people from getting water, and unless somebody dealt with the lion, the people of the village were not going to have water. And so Benaiah took upon himself in a difficult place, a difficult time, in difficult circumstances to do what was right. Psalm 84, verse 6, let me just mention part of this verse. The psalmist says, when passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. When passing through the valley of Baca, Baca's word means weeping. When passing through the valley of weeping, make it a well. I'm afraid too often we look at circumstances and we focus so much on our circumstances that we don't understand and believe that there's someone coming behind us that will need a positive response to our circumstances for them to survive. When passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would still our hearts and minds as we look at your word today. And Lord, we pray that you'd use it for your honor and glory. Bless and meet each need in this place. We'll give you the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. I've heard when someone mentioned Psalm 84, verse 6, the statement, leave a well in the valley when you walk through. Leave a well in the valley when you walk through. The thought is, leave something behind for those that are following you. This leads me to a poem that's one of my favorite. I didn't write this. It's interesting. Look at this. Will Allen Drumgool wrote this poem back in the time right around World War I. He wrote, an old man going on a lone highway came at the evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fear for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build this bridge at eventide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I've come, he said, there followed me after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. The chasm that has been naught to me, to that fair-haired youth, may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. Building this bridge for him. Leave a well in the valley when you walk through. This portion of scripture here in Genesis chapter 26 deals with Isaac and wells. Isaac and the wells. We see that Isaac, in verse 12 of our text here, we see it says that verse 14 in Genesis 26, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. If the flocks, the herds, the servants of Isaac were going to survive, they needed water. They were in the southern part of the land of Israel, a place that water was not all that plentiful. That if you were going to have water to supply your needs, you had to dig a well. There are very few natural sources. The Philistines, out of envy, had filled the wells that Abraham had dug. Abraham had been there before. Abraham and his servants had dug well after well. Each place they went, they dug a well because they needed the water from that well to supply the herds and the flocks of Abraham. Now those herds and flocks and servants belong to Isaac. And Isaac had a responsibility. He'd been with the Philistines for a time, and there was not at that time the great animosity between the Philistines and Abraham and his descendants that there was later on. We come to the time of David. Isaac went down there and he spent some time there, and there's some difficulties with that. We don't have time to go into that this morning. And we find that Abimelech in verse 16 said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art mightier than we." Abimelech was not commending Isaac, but rather he didn't want the constant reminder of God's blessing Isaac, and obviously not blessing the Philistines. We see that verse 12, "And Isaac sowed the land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." Verse 13, "And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great." And we see that the Philistines were jealous. The Philistines wanted him to be gone from them. They did not want a reminder that God was blessing this man, his herds. When he planted crops, the crops grew and increased. It says here 100-fold. And the herds and the flocks were plentiful and he reproduced. And he became more wealthy all of the time. And so Isaac was forced to leave. Look at verse 17. "And Isaac departed thence, and pitched his tent in the valley of Gir, and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. And he called their names by the names which his father called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley, and found there a well of springing water." Let me just give me a first thought. We don't need new wells. We just need to dig out the wells of our fathers. We don't need new wells. We just need to dig out the wells of our fathers. You know, I've been around long enough and that I've seen new things come in the realm of Christianity. And they come and they're a great exciting thing for a while, and then they fade off the scene. And then something else new comes up and it's the answer to everything, and then it fades off the scene. And then something else new comes up and it fades off. And instead of going back and digging the old wells, the old ways are safe. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." The last part of that verse is a terrible, terrible statement. "But they said, we will not walk therein." The prophet Jeremiah said, the old paths are the safe paths. The old paths are the place where God is blessing. The old paths are the place that is secure. But it seems mankind, and we have to include ourselves with that, are just really excited about something new. Something new comes on the scene, and we ought to be doing this, and we ought to be doing this, and we ought to be doing this. Promise Keepers was a big thing a few years ago. This group of men, they're supposed to be promise keepers, and they gathered in the thousands, sometimes filling stadiums in the United States. Came up into Canada too. But you know what? It's been probably 10 or 15 years since I've heard of a Promise Keepers meeting. I wonder where all these men are that were pledging to keep their promises to God, their promises to their wife, their promises to their family. What happened? What happened? They were enamored with something new instead of looking for the safe old paths. In the Song of Solomon, Solomon speaking to the maid, and we don't have time to go into the whole story there. But he tells her, she says, "Where am I going to find you?" Ask the question. And Solomon says, "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents." The footsteps of the flock beside the shepherd's tent. A place that is secure, a place that is safe. The old paths, the old wells. You know, Isaac was not a man of action like his father Abraham or his son Jacob. His life seemed to be, life's verse seemed to be, in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." That seemed to be where he hung his hat. But I'm glad that we find here in this portion of Scripture, character rising to the fore with Isaac. And Isaac understanding that if he was going to be like his father Abraham, a man after God's own heart, he had to dig the wells that Abraham had dug. The old wells, the old ways. Or the old ways? The old ways of the Bible. The Bible. It amazes to me now that you go into a Christian bookstore and very how few commentaries there are on the Bible. There's usually a section about that wide from floor to ceiling that have general commentaries about the Bible. But most of it is books that have been written by individuals about my life experience and what, you know, and not even the depth of. See, it's the Word of God that changes lives. It's the Word of God that saves souls. It's the Word of God that makes a difference. It's the Word of God that's going to make a difference in your life and mine. It's the Word of God that's going to make a difference in this church. It's the Word of God that's going to make a difference in this community and this country. It's the Bible. And it's worship. And it's worship. I'm glad our hymnal has worship hymns. Not little ditty songs that, you know, "I'm happy and you're happy and everybody's happy, so we'll all go to heaven, I guess." You know, you put that to music and sing that seven times and, you know, it's... You know, I have a gentleman that he's visited our church here sometimes, and he goes to another church in town, and he says, "I get so upset over there." He says, "It seems on Saturday they just try to make up new choruses that we have to sing on Sunday." And I thought to myself, well, why do you keep going there? But try to be kind and gracious. Worship. How great thou art. When I survey the wondrous cross. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Hymns of worship and praise. Hymns that lift God up, not hymns that lift me up and say what I have done, or lift what another individual has done, or what a church has done, or what a movement has done. But hymns that exalt God. The old wells of the Bible, of worship, the old wells of modesty. We live in a day when modesty seems to be going by the wayside. It's interesting that just this last week or so in France, there was a huge uproar because Islamic women wanted to wear, I don't know what they call them, burkettes or something like that, bathing suits. Burkinis. Burkini, that's quite an interesting name, that were modest, that covered them from their neck to their ankles. And they had, France originally outlawed these, and then they came back and changed it and something like that. But why are we so aghast at modesty? I don't agree with 99% of what the Islamic group does, but why are we so aghast at modesty? I had someone tell me modesty is a moving target. You know that, you know, if it's a moving target, where's it going to stop? I'll tell you what, you wander around the streets in the summer and you wonder where it's going to stop. Modesty is not a moving target. Modesty is biblical principles of the way we dress, but we have to remember also modesty are biblical principles of the way we act. modesty. Tommy got back to the old well of modesty. Old well of understanding that we dress in a certain way because we identify with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't dress in a certain way because we identify. I made a mistake. You ever made a mistake? Some of you have. I made a mistake yesterday. Yesterday I was working around here mowing the lawn. And I don't know where Mr. Anderson got to. Maybe he's down fixing lunch. Mr. Anderson was helping. We were mowing lawn. And I thought, I'm not going out any place. And so I put this t-shirt on that Pastor Mrs. O'Brien gave me at camp. And that t-shirt says, of course your opinion is important. Underneath it says, just not to me. Now folks that know me know that your opinion is important to me. I was wearing that around and somebody said, Lenora saw me and she made a comment about it. I didn't think about it. And then I had to go down to Canadian Tire to get a fitting for a grease gun. And I didn't change my shirt. I got down there in the middle of going around and I looked. This is not good for the Baptist preacher to be wearing a shirt that says, I'm sure your opinion is important, just not to me. You know, what we wear is important. The styles we wear are important because styles identify us with different movements. Modesty, faithfulness. The old well of faithfulness. It amazes me that 50 and 60 years ago, churches would have revival meetings and the average meeting was 2 weeks in length. Sometimes, after 2 weeks, they would have protracted meetings and they would say, we're just going to keep on going. By the time I was on the scene, a week long was a revival meeting. Why? Because you couldn't get people to be out for 2 weeks in a row in every evening. Now most meetings are 3 days. The average. And it's amazing if you go in and preach in a church for a 3 day meeting. Sunday's pretty well attended. Monday the attendance falls and Tuesday it gets pretty slim. Faithfulness. But it's not only faithfulness to the house of God and faithfulness to the service of God, but faithfulness to a spouse, faithfulness to our children, faithfulness to our parents, faithfulness to godly principles. The old wells, we talked about music a bit before, but the old well of God-honoring music. And music that the most important thing about it is its praise to God. I mentioned this before, that if someone stands behind this pulpit and sings a special, and our first thought is, they have a great voice, they have failed. If someone sings a special and our first thought is, that was a great author, they have failed. But when someone sings a song or music is ministered in the church, our first response should be, we serve a great God. You see, we've lost that. We've got to an entertainment industry in churches where music has to entertain or it doesn't seem to have value. You know, the old paths are safe. The new paths are slippery. The old paths are safe. The new paths are slippery. Second thought, when you dig the old wells, there will always be strife. When you dig the old wells, verse 20 of our text, and the herdmen of Gear did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And they called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well, and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called it, the name of it, Rehoboth. For he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. You know, Isaac's goal was only to clean out the old wells and provide water for the herds and his people. But the herdmen of Gir saw that as a threat. They didn't want to go to the work to clean out the wells. They didn't want to go down there. I don't know if you ever had to go down and clean out a well before in your life. I've done that. Not a pleasant thing. I did that. We were at Faithway, and I was cleaning out a well. All kind of gray, fine stuff in the bottom of the well. And of my friend downtown, you'll meet him sometime. He's my friend. He was up there, and we had a pulley and a bucket, and he was lowering his metal bucket down. I'd fill it with muck, and he'd haul it up. And it wasn't too long that as he hauled it up and it splashed all over, I was all covered in gray muck. Well, generally, he would lower the bucket back down to me. But he got distracted by something, as he normally did. And he took the bucket and he threw it over the side and walked away. I wasn't paying any attention. The bucket came down and landed right on top of my head. Broke my head open. I was bleeding. I was not happy. So now I wasn't gray. The blood mixed, red blood mixed with the gray muck. I was pink. I came up out of the well a little bit later after I got done, so I figured I might as well finish. My head's not going to feel any better up on top than it does down here. And everybody thought it was really funny. Digging out a well is not pleasant. It's hard work. The herdmen of Gir did not want the hard work of digging out the well, but they wanted the product. They wanted the water. I've told over and over to parents, when I was in Ontario in the Christian school there, they would see the children in our Christian school and they'd say, well, you know what? I want my children, they at that time, 5, 6, 7 years old, I want my children to be like that when they're teenagers. I said, okay, if you want them to do that, be like that, then here's what you have to do. And I would tell them, you have to be faithful in church. You have to have devotions with them every day. And I go down through, I said, these are, oh, we don't want to do all that, but we want our kids to turn out like that. And I told them over and over and over again, you can't have the product without going through the process. You can't have the product without going through the process. You see, the herdmen of Gir wanted the product. They wanted the water from the well, but they didn't want to have to go all the work of digging it out. If we're going to see God's blessing on this generation, if we're going to see God's blessing on the generation to come, we have to dig out some of the old wells. We have to say, you know what? The old paths are the good paths. We're not going to run down this path and that path and another path. We're not going to jump to every new idea that comes down. We're going to stick with the Word of God, worshiping God, praising God with God-honoring music, being modest and having standards and being faithful to the Word of God. We're going to stick with that because that's the product. The product is produced with that process. You can't get it any other way. It will not work. I've seen people try. I've seen people and disasters because they try to get the product without going through the process, and then they wonder, where did I fail? But they really don't want the answer. There's always strife when you dig the old wells. God blesses those that are faithful. Verse 23, and from thence he went up to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. What happened to Beersheba? Isaac had left the Philistines. He needed to. Isaac had been faithful in digging out the old wells. And now as they come to Beersheba, clear in the south, he met with God. God reminded Isaac of his covenant with him. Isaac built an altar and offered a sacrifice and called on the name of the Lord. And he pitched his tent there. And there he dug a well. You know, God's blessings are on the faithful. God's blessings are on the faithful. I want you to understand this. We can't go out and say, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to reject what the Word of God says. I'm going to reject the principles that we find in the Word of God. But I still want God to bless me. It's not going to work. It just won't. You see, Isaac did the things that were necessary. He went through the process, if you will. And the product of that was God's blessing on his life. The heathen acknowledged the blessing of God. Verse 26, and Abimelech went up to him from Gir, and Asenath, one of his friends, and Pichol, the chief captain of the army, and Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt. As we have not touched thee, and as we have not done done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now blessed of the Lord. And he made of them a feast, and they did eat and drink, and they rose up in the morning and swore one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. You know, finally, Isaac confronts the Philistines. He said, it's gone on long enough. He says, wherefore have you come unto me, seeing you hate me, and have sent me away from you? Why did the Philistines come to him? Because they saw he was growing stronger. They saw he was growing stronger than they were as a people. They saw that if a conflict came, they probably would lose. And they did not want Isaac to be a confederate with their enemies if a conflict came. They wanted to come in, and they came, and of course they lied to Isaac and said, oh, you know, we've always been good to you. And verse 28, thou wilt do us no harm, as we have not touched thee, and have done to thee nothing but good. Nothing but good. Can you imagine how Isaac's servants felt? They go out, they dig out a well, and the herdmen of Gir come, and they chase them off and say, that's our well. And they dig out another well, and the herdmen of Gir come and say, that's our well, and chase them off. And they dig another well, and the herdmen of Gir come out, and they chase. Was that doing good to them? Kind of a warped idea. Isaac made a covenant with the Philistines. Basically, he said, you stay away from me and I'll stay away from you. You know, you don't have to always be right. But you always have to be righteous. You understand the difference? Sometimes we get in this agreement and did you ever get into a discussion with somebody? Maybe it's a sports question. What year was the last year that the Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup? 1949. No, it was 60-something, I think. 67. Are you sure? I think it was 68. Are you sure it's 67? Maybe it was 66. You see, Lowell and I could get into a discussion. We could get into an argument. A lot of people argued over the Maple Leafs, by the way, about whether it was 67 or 68. By the way, he's right, it was 67. But if I don't believe Lowell that it was 1967, That does not take away from the truth of the date. Understand that. Sometimes we get an argument and people want to argue with about something. Sometimes we just have to let it go. You don't have to be right. If it does not affect somebody's safety, their resources, or their reputation, let it go. Let it go. You know, and you don't have to say, well, I guess you can be wrong and I can be right. But let it go. You don't always have to be right, but you always have to be righteous. Understand the difference? We always have to have a heart that's right before God. Even though we might disagree with something about as foolish about as a date when the Maple Leafs last won the pennant or the Stanley Cup. Faithfulness in a man is seen and known by his friends and his enemies. I wonder about somebody that the world likes just a little too much. I wonder about somebody that the world praises just a little too much. It's interesting if you watch the news at all, if something of a religious nature happens, who the world calls on to comment and who they don't. You know, it's been a long time since I've seen Bob Jones III called on to comment about something happened in the world. You know why? Because he tells it straight. They even stopped asking Franklin Graham to make many comments because he tells it straight. Oh, but there's others, and I won't mention their names, that are constantly asked because they'll toe the political line. Who are friends and who are enemies? Who likes us and who doesn't like us? Now, that doesn't mean we make ourselves unlikable to the world. I understand that. Verses 32 and 33. God's blessing is confirmed. It came to pass the same day that the Philistines were there, they left to go back. Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well that they had digged, and said unto him, "We have found water." And they called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. God's blessing was confirmed. Isaac was a meek man. He was a quiet man. He wasn't as active as his father and his son would be, but he's a man of principle. He's a man who said, "I'm going to dig the old wells. Because I know if my father dug that well, I know there's water there. And so I'm going to dig that well out again, and I'm going to get back to what my father found in that well." Folks, it's time we got back to the old wells. It's time we got back to the old paths. It's time that we're smart enough to feed our kids beside the shepherd's tents, to go where it's safe and secure, not traveling after every new thing. God's blessing is confirmed. We have found water. The old wells, the old paths, the old book, the old faith. Leave a well in the valley when you walk through. What are we leaving for our next generation? Let me ask you this. Are we allowing the wells to be filled up and plugged up? Are we keeping them cleaned out? Keeping the fresh water of the Word of God available for the next generation? Leave a well in the valley when you walk through. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please?